I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
We are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. What a return. What a time.
You're never going to see Danielle happier than you see her right now in this moment post Monza. And Danielle, why are you so happy today?
I mean, you guys, you can keep your wins in Spa. You can keep your wins in Montreal. Keep them. Take them. Nobody cares. Miami, it's yours. Have fun. Because sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc, like the iconic team he drives for, is a true icon of motorsport. And we're only winning iconic races this season. And you know, that's fine. We're going straight Monaco and Monza. We're taking the icons of sport. That's it. That's all we want.
That's it. That's all you need. That's fine.
Forza Ferrari, guys. The Tifosi is chef's kiss. So happy. You know, this is all we needed this season. It's true. Monaco and Monza, put a wrap in it. I mean, like, we could use more, but, like, we don't need more.
If you know you're not going to be winning the championship, Monaco and Monza are all you need.
Yeah, we're icons. Icons of sport.
Yeah. Iconic shit. That's all you're doing.
That's all Charles does is iconic shit. And you know what? I just couldn't be happier for that sweet prince of a man. Just living, laughing, loving with his chick and his dog with a little smooch. I mean, chef's kiss. Look at the people of Monza. Just the Tifosi rejoices.
Into what they love most, which is red motorsports. That's it.
Yeah, ask a kid to draw a car. What color is he going to color it?
Red.
Red. Look at your emojis, folks. You don't get a green race car. So we're taking iconic shit this season, and we'll leave the rest, you know, to McLaren and Max Verstappen, not Red Bull as a whole because they hate Checo. But, yeah, oh, the joy in that man's eyes. The hug. If you haven't watched the video of Carlos coming up and tapping him on the shoulder and find someone to love you the way these two men love each other.
It is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful sight. It's
the support, the friendship, the respect. I'm going to miss it next year. I mean, I know that Lewis will bring a similar, you know, respectful king energy, but
yeah,
it's not going to be the same.
It won't be the same, you know, and then as someone who's starting to get a lot more excited about seeing, you know, my man in red, I'm looking forward to the friendship and the little bond that they will create. But you're right, it won't be the same.
It won't be the same.
Charles. And that's okay. It's not supposed to be the same, which is okay. It'll be different. But I'm here, like, I've always loved Carlos and Charles together. It's, you know, they're hilarious. It seems very genuine. Like nothing seems, even like when they're not getting along, you can still, they have a mutual respect for each other. And I really do like partnership.
Oh, I think that they're always like friends. They're just like, yes, how any friends are. You're just like annoyed and you're like, oh, this is you're being annoying or like this shit is annoying. Yes. But I think like at their core,
yeah,
they're people.
They're good people. And they really like each other. That's great.
The bromance. I can't wait to enjoy the rest of the season. Yeah, honestly, like this race, all ups, no downs, all highs, no lows. Ferrari strategy on point. Who would have thought?
I didn't, you know, and it's because we've seen it time and time again where the Ferrari strategy is what kills the mojo on this team. So the fact that Charles said, I got it from here, guys. Stop asking me 10 times to do something I'm not going to do.
No.
Let me just drive this car and win this race. How I'm going to do it. And they said, okay.
That's fine. He said, like, this is the thing too. Was the strategy, the one-stop strategy? Yeah, dicey, you know, a little scary. Trying to make it to the end. And everyone's like, you know, the McLaren would have caught him. yeah, if the race was different, if there were certain, if there was about five more laps, not even five, maybe three more laps, but there wasn't. We did it. We did exactly what needed to be done to win the race today.
And, you know, going back to the relationship of Carlos and Charles, Charles really needed to hug Carlos a little tight because
yeah.
he was holding people up for 10 seconds. No one in that 10-second gap. Carlos said, hang on, I got you, bro. I got it.
It's a squad. Tifosi. Forza Ferrari forever.
Being together.
Yeah, it's a great weekend. And once again, let's look. I know that a lot of y'all might not be sports bettors, but if you do, I'll tell you this once, I'll tell you it twice, I'll tell you it every episode. If Lando Norris is on P1, he ain't going to be leading after a few laps. He might get it back. He might win. But that man can drive a great qualifying, but he does not come out of the gate swinging.
He does not know how to convert P1 into a lasting position on the racetrack.
Which Charles has struggled with that too, admittedly. We'll take that one on the chin, you know, like that's Charles's gift either.
He did, but he also had Oscar Piastri like bumping into him and being like, move over. It'd like be like, oh, that was tight. Like, yeah, Oscar. You got Charles trying to like not swerve into other people.
Yeah. Oscar's a better starter.
Oscar's a premium start.
Yeah. Can we talk about what in the hell happened in qualifying with the Red Bulls? They're just slow.
Whatever upgrades and whatever package
they were downgrades.
We said, I'm not giving you any more secret codes to unlock. And they're like, no, just one more. And Adrian Newey said, no, I'm leaving. And I'm taking all of my cheat codes with me.
Yeah, I mean, it is, the wheels are falling. No, they're not falling off, but they have come a little bit,
It does kind of feel like, you know, when you got like a cheat code to play a video game and then it runs out and you're like, oh shit, now I really have to actually play this game. That's kind of what it looks like when you watch Red Bull right now. And I'm like, ooh.
Well, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we knew, the shit went down, but they were trying to hold it together. Maybe this is just like, they couldn't hold it together anymore.
Yeah, that is not it.
And everything they'd stored up is gone now. The goodwill's gone.
Gone. No more.
I mean, it's just, I think that Helmut Marko may pass if this continues. Like, this is going to put so much stress on him. He's got an old heart.
It's kind of like those people that never retire, because if they retire, they will die. Like,
yeah,
passion to keep living because they only know how to do like this one thing. Helmut Marko only knows how to talk shit about other drivers
and win.
That's gone.
It's some dark times over in the Red Bull garage. I mean, the gap is only 12 points now. 12 points.
When is the last time they've been this stressed?
Yeah. This close.
Well, yeah.
12 points. That's
insane.
It's insane. And granted, they'll, coming out of the media and camps, you'll hear everyone say McLaren didn't have a great weekend. And I'm sure it did not meet their expectations, but they still had a double podium and they still are close to that gap. So, it wasn't what they were necessarily shooting for or aiming for or kind of had on the books, but definitely still, they're still closing that gap.
They lost this race. It's on them. And honestly, McLaren, Zach Brown, you cannot be out here saying that we have two number one drivers. This is enough is enough. And like my husband is on time yesterday, sharing his feelings about this. And if you haven't seen the clip of Will Buxton also passionately sharing his thoughts on how McLaren needs to make a decision, Dan and Will are the same in their
path. They're aligned.
How much they feel so strongly that McLaren, you've waited too late. And if you lose this championship, it's on you, because you can't wait this late in the season to pick who your number one's going to be. And we've seen that like the last couple of races, where it's like, we're just going to let them race.
Yeah, free to race. They're always saying free to race. And I'm like, well, at some point you have to have a strategy that shows what the plan is.
And you've got one that's closer to the championship that's actually in fighting contention. And then you've got one who could win races, which is great. But like, what do you want to do? Where are you going to put your allegiance? And you've got to pick one. But you've also waited really late in the season to do that. And you're going to be wishing that you didn't when you lose by 2 points.
Insert the clip from what race was that? Three, you know, what was it? The second to last one before the end of the summer break. Which race was that? Whichever one they let Oscar win, remember, someone pull the tape of me saying,
yeah,
you should have let Lando through. Like, you got a guy that's fighting with Max, and that's what he said. Lando said, hi, hey, friends, it's me, the one close to Max in the driver championship. Don't you think, like, we've established that at this point. I know that you guys love Oscar. I know that you have to make concessions to him, but, like, get wrecked. This is his second year in F1. Like, we don't need to like lay down the red carpet for him. Like,
no, but it's almost like it's a parent that doesn't want to make either of their kids mad, but you've got to put the boundaries down of like, you both can't win. Like,
right. That's what we said.
One number one, and there can only be one world champion at the end of the season. So you can't just be like dicking Oscar along either, being like, yeah, keep racing, keep doing it. Like,
well, yeah, it's just irresponsible for the team and also just stupid. Like, again, I did that whole rant. And I'm not a Lando apologist, but I just did that rant when they let Oscar have the lead, you know, when they made Lando back down. And he's like, hey, guys, it's me, the one closest to Max.
Yep.
And they made that choice. So, I mean, I think that that could end up coming back to bite them, you know, in some contract negotiations or things down the line, too, because you know, at some point you got to pick your top dog. And let's be real. Like, you guys said Lando was the top dog and now you're kind of backpedaling on it. Like,
that's the thing. You can't have two number one drivers, Zach. I mean, you're not new to this game. I don't understand where you're trying to placate both. It's you can't do that.
Yeah. And he's had experience with that in the past, like cough, cough, Daniel Ricciardo, like it just isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
Also, just be upfront with them. That's what people want. They just want you to be upfront. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, with Ferrari, like, clearly Carlos wasn't the number one. And he's like, all right, well, I got to go make decisions for myself, you know? Like, exactly.
Yeah. But Lando's contract with McLaren is up in 25.
Do you think that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Does he stay or does he go someplace that's like not contesting that he could be the number one? And is that how Zach got Oscar in the seat? Was like, when Lando goes, you're it. Like, we see you as the next big deal.
I mean, we know that this is all money driven and this is all, you know, there's no real allegiances, but it's kind of
Red Bull. That's the only one.
Yeah. Well, that's a blood oath. Yeah. But it just seems that like Zach was so obsessed with Lando. And he's just likes the newest, shiniest toy. But I just want to be like, Lando is an exceptional driver and still quite young. Like, why are we not building the brand around him? That seemed like what we were trying to do when you, you know, got rid of Daniel Ricciardo, essentially, is to make him the guy. And I think that's clearly probably how it was explained to Lando, hence kind of the like frustration on his side, because he's like, you guys said I was the guy.
Right.
And now I'm not. What's the deal?
Yeah. I don't know. We're gonna just have to keep watching. Keep an eye out on these guys because it's going to be interesting to see how, well, you know, the PR machine will spin it, how they're going to spin it, but like, well, how it's going to look like on a racetrack.
I think we could be spiraling towards some sort of, you know, double takeout. I could see Lando just, you know, lighting it on fire. I don't really see that from Oscar, but
he's going to be like, fuck it. We're rolling with it. We're going. I'm like, I'm done being nice. I'm done playing by the rules. I want to win this and I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could also see him doing something wildly aggressive to just say like, you know, and if it ends up taking them both out, it takes them both out to be like, don't fuck with me anymore. I don't know. I feel like he's got it in him. I don't really think it's in Oscar yet, but I feel like Lando's
Oscar's got a lot of bucket in his bucket. He's like, oh, no. I mean, he's quiet, but he is also, he's got a little ice in his veins and he's like, I'm not going to get run out. Unless the powers that be are like, sit back, sit down. Like, we need all hands on deck with Lando. But if they're like, we're free to race, Oscar's gonna be like, let's go.
Because yeah, but I just think that Lando might just try to prove a point.
So I'm like, I would put my money on Oscar to be like, oh, I'll take him out. Like,
I'm on Team Lando on this one. If we're choosing our McLaren fighter, I'm taking Lando.
Oh, I'm taking Oscar.
All right. Well, I wore the shirt last week, so you get yourself some Oscar Piastri merch, and we can.
I just have one hat that I only wear when Oscar wins.
Well, there we go. I'm just saying, I think that Lando might try to assert his own dominance at some point on this. And I don't think maybe it'll go so well for the team as a whole, but I think he's going to say, I'm the eldest boy.
Yeah. And to bring it back to succession. Like, I'm the eldest.
Yeah. I could see it happening. That's and nice. I honestly, I'll support him. I support a petty king.
It's great.
Yeah. But I mean, they do need to kind of figure that out. They all need to sit in a room.
Well, haven't they been having team meetings every Sunday for the past, I don't know, 16 races at this point? Like, I feel like they've all been sitting in the same room and they're not on the same page. So it's like, they got to get it together by Baku so that we can be like an Azerbaijan being like, okay.
I'm going to skip to this like news and note I had, because I just pulled this one part from this SB Nation of like the top takeaways and top like the highs and lows of basically the race. Uh-huh. And they talk about, there's some quotes from the McLaren team. They were running 1-2 midway through the race, but with each driver experienced severe degradation on their left front tires, they were each forced to pit a second time, leaving the door open for Ferrari's bold gamble. In the end, both drivers were brutally honest and open regarding their disappointment. Yeah, it hurts. I'm not going to lie. It hurts a lot. We did a lot of things right today. You know, there were a lot of question marks on the strategy going into the race, said Piastri, trackside to Nico Rosberg. Yeah, from the position we were in with the tires looking like they did, doing a one-stop seemed like a very risky call. And in the end, it was right. So yeah, very, very happy with the pace with the race that I managed to achieve. When you finish second, it hurts. And then from Norris, it's a little different. Pretty disappointing. Yeah, which is obvious from the outside, even described Norris in the FIA press conference. I mean, Charles drove a great race, honestly. Hard to know if we could have done what he did today, but they deserved it. Yeah, both Oscar and Charles drove a good race. So yeah, disappointing, starting from pole and ending third, especially when I think the pace was very strong. So a shame, but that's what it is. I mean, he's over me, been like, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mad. Yeah, it sucks. But this is the questions that lingered after Hungary remain in the air following Monza. How will they handle their two drivers down the stretch? Will they at some point prioritize Norris when they can and give him a boost in the driver's championship? Will Buxton, we already talked about this, raise those questions, noting that on the final lap, it was clear that Piastri was not going to catch Leclerc. Why not swap their two drivers? A second place finish from Norris would have seen him pick up 3 more points on Verstappen. Yeah. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just, we're close to Max.
Yeah. It's going to come down to these really unnecessary 2-3 finishes that you're like, that ain't it.
Well, it's just like we could be, the math's not mathing at McLaren.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Anyways, yeah. Enough about them.
Yeah. What? You know who the math really got mathed on this
week? I was just about to say.
K-Mac. What? Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Now we have a race ban for the next race. He's not allowed to drive because he picked up too many penalty points. And that's not good. Like, we don't love that.
Well, and okay, so here's my other news and note on this. Pierre Gasly has come out and said Gasly wants, quote, unfair Magnussen race ban reversed after, quote, nothing Italy F1 clash. Like Gasly, who is the one that Magnussen had this, you know, rear or wheel-to-wheel dust up with. And he's like, quote, honestly, this was nothing. The whole afternoon we were dead slow. We really needed to get on top of it because I really believed we would have had more potential in the race and it was a lot harder, Gasly said. Someone told me he got a 10-second penalty. I'm a bit surprised for that because he tried, but it was a bit of wheel to wheel. And in the end, I really didn't lose any time. I'm a bit surprised. I hope somehow they can revert on that because that would be definitely unfair. I'll be happy to do it. I'll see what I can do. That will feel very unfair for the incident that it was. I'm like, yeah, we're giving him this penalty for a big nothing burger.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not that he hasn't had.
He has had other ones that were not nothing burgers.
Things, but like this one was like.
Okay. If you're going to go down swinging. Like this wasn't one that he's like.
Hard, but like this isn't it. Like this is a minor racing incident that should have gotten no point.
Like again, the guy he was racing with said it was not a thing. Like we barely had a thing. He's like, he didn't even slow me down. Like it didn't change my race at all.
Yeah.
It's just kind of silly. But that means we're going to get a new face.
Yeah.
A new little mop of hair on the...
Okay, so like the way that I read this, and maybe you have this in your news notes, but Haas wants Ollie Bearman to race, but like Ollie is still under the Ferrari like management. And I know like Haas has a Ferrari engine, so
right.
But I don't think Ollie is the reserve driver for Haas. So like who gets
the I do not know. I thought that they had said that it was Ollie, but I guess we still don't know who will drive for drive for Kevin.
I think at this point Haas would have to borrow Ollie from Ferrari.
It says, I mean, it basically says that he's poised. They haven't made the announcement.
Okay.
But
that's you.
But Bearman's already set to drive for them for next year. So.
Yeah. But I think, but again, I looked at this and didn't follow up through. So I just wanted to see, but like, who is the reserve driver currently for Haas? And should that be the person that gets to take the seat if something happens to a current driver?
I don't know, but I can't find anything about that. It's everyone's basically saying like Ollie Bearman will be
the guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying, I think they may be trying to reverse the penalty, but.
Oh, you know who it is? It's your guy. Pietro Fittipaldi.
Oh yeah. But you also, they may have some sort of other, he may have some sort of other race he's doing. I don't know. I'm just saying it's every article says.
Yeah. It's probably. And also, it's Ollie Bearman and Fittipaldi as their official reserve drivers for 2020. Yeah.
So I think we're
going to let him just take the seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just let little Ollie in.
Let him in. Cute.
Speaking of new drivers, I do have a news and notes on new drivers, but we can finish this race up first because it's a fun little like obscure
little negative things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this race was fun. Obviously, the highlight was Charles winning, and then the extreme drama of what are they doing at McLaren. But after that, I really didn't care about anything else.
How'd you feel about your Mercedes?
They were fine, you know. Fine is all I can say with a lowercase f, fine.
Yeah, they were meh. It's just so disappointing to see that they were on such a
hot
up and up. Yeah.
It looked amazing before summer break. And I don't know who touched the car, but
it's like they swapped the cars back to the one they were using, you know, in the first quarter of the season, first half of the season.
Yeah, I don't love them.
Yeah, I'm like, get the car that we were just using back. Where did you guys leave that one? Did it get left at the factory? Like, someone bring that car back.
I don't know. I miss it though.
It's just so strange to see how they were getting like exponentially better every race, and then the just hit the brakes so hard.
Yeah, I agree. So I would like to see that back.
And then, you know, it's going to suck the joy out of Lewis Hamilton again. We had gotten so much joy back, and then.
Down the drain. Yeah.
But one thing that did bring me joy, did you see George and Carmen's outfits?
Oh, God, they looked great.
And fabulous. Stunning. Perfection. Models.
I really don't think there's another couple.
No, that does it as well.
As well as those two. And like, consistently always on the same page. It's like they are in a coordinated fashion shoot every single time.
Yeah, they're shooting a campaign every time they go out of the house. And
question.
Hi, Marks.
Who do you think is in charge of that? Is that George?
They have a stylist, I think.
Or is it Carmen?
It's Carmen, and I believe they have a stylist.
But, like, who do you think gets the final say? Because, you know, George is particular. Like, George out there in that striped turtleneck, and I was like, what?
Oh, I think that she has the final say. I don't think he has the final say.
I hope not.
Maybe sometimes. Maybe they alternate, but I think that she's the decision maker.
I hope he's the one that pressed play on the turtleneck and not her, because that was.
Oh, I feel like that's a hers all the way.
It's time for us to box box. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Who's your pole position?
My pole
driver of the day.
Okay, my driver of the day.
There's no other answer.
Is he did great. And my pole position is the Tifosi, because it was beautiful. And there, and I saw this someplace, and I was like, God, I couldn't agree more. It's like you can win wherever you want to win in whatever racetrack, and it'll still not be as good as winning at Monza. And I was like, that is, there are no true words.
Yeah, as a Ferrari driver.
Yeah.
And Charles Leclerc speaking Italian as soon as he crossed the finish line, like, get out of here, everyone else. Like, you're just not going to play the game like this. Like, no one else on the grid could give that energy.
No. And honestly, nobody else could have gotten away with saying Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, and making it like,
But it's like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like authentic. He wasn't like putting, I mean, he's,
yeah,
that Italian, like, get out of here.
Didn't
beautiful.
Rolled off his tongue. Like,
no, yeah, it's, he's not trying hard. Like, it's just natural. That part was also just like, he said, like, I'm not speaking in English. Get rid of the common language. We're talking to the people in their native tongue, the one I love and respect and speak fluently. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
Beautiful thing.
My driver of the day goes to obviously sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc. There's no one else.
Yes.
You know, end of story. My P1 is a tie for Ferrari strategy team for just getting it the F together. We've been here. We've been waiting. We're so happy that you've joined us.
Yes.
And Carlos Sainz, because, you know, he's a real one. But on that note, can you at least admit now that Charles is the better driver?
Okay. Yes. My whole thing was last season when I said it, the facts backed me up. that was the time.
Yeah, for a bit.
Charles is a better driver. He's
okay, thank you.
Facts. I'm not going to argue with the facts. Like, they are there. He's doing great.
What's the timestamp on the show right now? So we know.
I don't
Tuesday,
know.
September 3rd, 9:34 a.m. Shannon said it. For the record.
For the record. Yes. Okay. Charles is a better driver this season.
No, that's not what I said. Just period. End of sentence.
Don't you edit that. Producer Keith, don't you edit that for Danielle's favor.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's the line.
Oh my God, I love it.
Doing the most with the least.
Yeah.
Is sweet Charles. I mean, but Carlos had a great race, and you know I stand Charles. I mean, I stand Carlos too.
You're gonna love who is in first place for this race. Scuderia Diamonds. We haven't seen this team season, and yet they're pulling through. And
The Scuderia comes through.
He's in second. Ooh, I know Watermelon. I probably messed up how to say that, but you're in third. Pancakes for Charlos. Which is, again, someone we haven't seen, but adorable. And what's the racing point coming in fifth? So great job, everybody.
Great work.
Great job.
Cheers to you.
Yeah, Scuderia Diamond coming in first place in the Italian Grand Prix.
That's amazing. I'm a little sad that we have a little bit of a break, you know, that we're no race this weekend, correct? Yeah, no race.
Such a role.
But.
What's that?
After that is one of my other all-time favorites, Baku.
Baku is beautiful.
I really want to go there.
I know.
Anyways,
Yeah.
It's on the bucket list.
It's amazing. But it's a street course.
I know. I love that.
Are we going to get, is Checo going to make an appearance? Because you know he's king of the streets.
I know. I hope so. Because Lord, he's been missing all season. Somebody put up the wanted posters. Where is missing or wanted? Just where is he? Who? I mean, he even is putting them up. Like, find Checo putting up the missing posters of himself because he doesn't know where he is either.
Unclear.
Yeah. He's lost out in the world.
This is fun because we get one of your bucket lists, and then the next race after that is Singapore, which is...
I know. Back to back. They've really mixed the calendar up this year.
Yeah, I know. This is great. I'm loving it.
I wish they'd mix up the calendar and move Miami a little bit just so that, you know, it'd be easier for us to attend, but... That's a selfish reason.
That's understandable.
And then there's another little break, and then it's we hit the U.S., don't we?
Yes, yeah. U.S., Mexico, Brazil, Las Vegas. So
the end of the season is coming at us fast.
So fast. Like, I still don't remember the beginning of the season, but I can't believe we're already close to the end.
I know.
Like, it's just.
I mean, I do remember the beginning of the season. It felt like the same as last season, and then all of a sudden we got into a whole new world, which has been really fun.
It's been really actually delightful.
And you know what I'm kind of sad about? Because I feel like a lot of people started watching F1 last year because they heard like the Drive to Survive, the hype of it all, the US races, and people were like, oh, okay, I'll give this a try. And I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday. And then they like watch the races and are like, oh, this is boring. And the same guy wins every year. And I kind of wish we could like give all those same people that had tried to dip their toe into the sport last year and probably have quit on it this season. Cause it's so fun. It's a totally different.
It's so different. And if you stayed long enough to get into like when it got good this season, you're like, you're just not disappointed. So you're just like, man.
Yeah, like it's just a totally different. We've got McLaren, we've got Mercedes winning races, we've got Ferrari. You know, we've got all the guys on the podium, all the big guys.
I'm loving it.
Not Checo. We're not getting Checo on this one.
He's won all the races. He's going to win this season, unless he shows up in Baku. Who knows?
Who knows? I'm hopeful for him. Speaking of like, also we always talk about Checo and sponsorships. Did you see Ferrari lost a big sponsor?
No,
they lost. Is it Santander Bank? It's like one of the top sponsors on the car, Santander. And they're based in, it's a Spanish bank. And so they,
I guess. Sponsor, did he bring that one?
Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, it's a big deal too. I think they were like a $60 million sponsor. And so they're looking at, you know, taking their talents to Williams, which would be a big, I don't think Ferrari's going to have a hard time filling that sponsorship gap, but I do think it could be a huge win for Williams.
That's definitely a huge win for Williams for sure. Wow.
So we always talk about how, you know, the drivers bring some of the sponsors, and here's an example of one that's going to be making some big, you know, waves potentially. And that could be a huge pickup for Williams. So
that is exciting.
There you go. Okay, here's my favorite news and notes of the day, because it's so kind of, it's not silly to them, but I feel like it's kind of just a little bit of minutia. So we're getting two new drivers to, you know, brand new to F1 next year. And Kimi Antonelli gets his first win as he secures his preferred race number for F1. So we know that they all get to pick their number for their car. And both Kimi and Doohan were in the chase for the same F1 number. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
So Kimi Antonelli has beaten Jack Doohan in taking race car number 12 next season after both set their sights on the same digit. Under Formula One's current sporting regulations, drivers have to choose a permanent number that they keep for their entire F1 career. Numbers only become available if a driver's F1 career is deemed to have ended after two full seasons out of Grand Prix racing. The number 12 has been available since the start of 2019, with Brazilian Felipe Nasser having used it during his two seasons in F1 in 2015 and 16. With several rookies stepping up for F1 next year, an interesting situation has emerged with Alpine's Doohan and Mercedes Antonelli both after the same number 12. Speaking recently in an Instagram reel in the wake of signing, Doohan said he planned to be racing with number 12 next year, but Kimi said not so fast. So he goes, he had talked about it. And then unbeknownst to Doohan and Alpine, it is understood that Mercedes has already kicked off the process of applying for Antonelli's race number for 2025, which was also 12. So Autosport understands, that's this article is from Autosport, understands that FIA protocol in the event that two drivers request the same number is for it to be given to the first one that has applied for it. So under that, apparently, Kimi will get the number 12. So we'll see what happens with that. But this is a fun little...
Oh, that's funny. Well, to piggyback off that, there was a post from Kimi Räikkönen who said that he's like, I would come back and do another race just so that Kimi couldn't have my number. And honestly, that's the most Kimi Räikkönen thing you could possibly...
Yeah, that's amazing. But what number was Kimi Räikkönen?
7. You remember that's Charles' favorite number, but he couldn't.
Oh, yeah, because he couldn't have it because.
Yeah,
because
Kimi had it. Yeah. I was like,
ooh. Well, Kimi got.
Not my name, but not my number.
He got 12 and he snagged it from. So I wonder if. No driver has 21, do they?
Alex is 23 and Yuki's 22. I don't know who 21 is.
I guess he could, like, you know.
Flip it, yeah.
To flip the numbers. But I wonder if somebody else has used it, I don't know, recently enough. Anyways, so that's a funny, you know, giggle. Nick DeVries used 21, so I think he couldn't take it.
He's been out for 2 years.
He was there at the beginning. He was racing at the beginning of last year, so he wouldn't be able to use it till like halfway through, right?
Right. But once you pick a number, like, you have to have a number to start the season. So once you pick
right, it, so that's your number. Like, but Max changed his number.
Only if you win the driver championship, then you can be number one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's to use the number one.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, so then we'll see which one Jack or boy Jack gets. But I thought that was a giggle. Yeah, it's, what would your number be, Shannon?
27.
Mine would be 17.
Is there a significance with that?
It's my birthday. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. A lucky day. 17 is a great number.
17 is a great number.
But my son does use 16 for his soccer number, so I do love that. You know, he's my little sweet Charles Leclerc.
My youngest uses 16 as her number, and she is birthday buddies with Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
So that's why she uses it.
Charles Leclerc uses 16 because that's his birthday.
I thought he did his because his favorite, he wanted 7 and 1 + 6 = 7.
Oh, yeah. But isn't his birthday also the 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it's kind of both.
It's kind of both. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There we go for the numbers.
The fact that we remember that stuff from like the early years of doing this.
Yeah. Because we can't do an episode of Push Push without talking about the state of Max Verstappen. And because Red Bull always has to fire shots whenever they don't win, or even sometimes when they do win, Max Verstappen warns the F1 championships will slip away if Red Bull slump continues. Max Verstappen fears it is, quote, not realistic for Red Bull to win the Formula One World Championship in 2024 if the team cannot find an answer to the recent struggles with the car. So his quote, at the moment, both championships are not realistic, Verstappen said post-race at Monza. It's up to the team to come up with a lot of changes for the car because we basically went from a very dominant car to an undrivable car in the space of, 6 to 8 months? Verstappen said, admitting it was very weird for him to experience.
Wow.
We haven't got a connection between front and rear, explained Red Bull team principal Christian Horner. Max can't lean on the rear on the way into the corner or Checo, and they end up compensating that, creating understeer. Horner emphasized the urgency of the situation, stating that both championships are, quote, absolutely will be under pressure if Red Bull continues to perform as it did at Monza. He stressed the need to, quote, turn around the situation very quickly. We know what we have to get on top of and address. Otherwise, we put ourselves under massive pressure. So, yeah, it's bad times.
Bad times. Don't you kind of miss Christian Horner popping off in the media? Like, they revoked his media card and said, do not talk to a single press. Like, give me a press pass. Like, you cannot.
Yeah.
Don't talk to anybody.
I just love how this article quotes two people – about saying that the card's very weird because Toto, they, of course they asked Toto about it. And that's like, why? Toto Wolff, the Mercedes team principal, described Red Bull's recent downturn as, quote, really weird to watch. He also warned not to bet against the reigning champs. I have no insight, obviously, but that is not at all the Red Bull of the start of the year. Dominant, Wolff said. I think that Max was able to keep it going for a while with his ability, but it seems now that from the sheer results, and that's what I see without understanding, without knowing what's going on inside, because it also could be a blip. But that's probably one of the worst races we've seen for many years to have no pace. But who am I to say that? We've been having 2 years where nothing functioned, and the same with Ferrari a few races ago. So I don't think you can write them off.
You know, at least Toto touches grass. He gets it. He's like,
oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, we sucked too. We are terrible also. So who knows what's happening out here, but it's been weird. I just love that everyone's like, it's weird. The shit is weird.
They see it too.
So hopefully, you know, they've got 2 weeks to get it, or 10 days pretty much, to turn it around.
Cool. Well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, I love Baku, though. And is Baku a sprint? Do we get another sprint? Because we haven't had a sprint in a while. And I thought maybe it was. It was in 2023.
It is not a sprint.
Oh.
No sprint.
It was last year, though.
I think it was last year, yeah.
No, it was. Like, it's, you know, was confirmed. Last year it was a sprint. When is our next sprint? I feel like we haven't had that many.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, the sprint is going to happen in at COTA in the States.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And then Mexico City is not. Brazil is. Vegas can't
no.
be. It's too late. Qatar is a sprint. And then Abu Dhabi is the last of the season. 93 days, it says.
Jeez, it's still so far to go.
No. I was like, oh, we're so close to being done. Like, 96 days? No, we're not.
No, we have until like the holidays.
So much racing.
So much racing left to do. Well, since we're like kind of halfway through the season, like, let's put some predictions on
tape. Okay.
For the end of the season. Do you think Max Verstappen wins the Drivers' Championship?
No.
Ooh, do you think Lando wins the Drivers' Championship?
I think Lando's going to win. I think it's going to come down to Abu Dhabi one more time.
You think it's last race shit?
I do think it's going to be last race shit. Like, I do think it, and I think that, like, again, the McLarens are just going to be like praying to their little candles with Lando's face on it, being like, please didn't, I don't want our fuck ups in the beginning to fuck us over right now. Like, that's going to be the prayer that they're going to be saying up until the last race. Cause I think it's going to be close.
Okay. I like that.
I'm going to say it's going to be within 5 points.
Do you think that Red Bull wins the constructors?
No, I think
no
constructors. Yes.
I think McLaren wins the constructors. I think Max figures it out and wins the driver championship.
I mean, he's
I wouldn't
work to do, but like,
no, for sure.
He's no longer just fighting one car. He's fighting four, you know, and sometimes five, if you put like a Mercedes in there.
Yeah. Random rogue Mercedes.
Trouble, you know? So it's like, I think it's going to be harder for Max to win than he thinks.
I agree.
You know, like, I just think mathematically, where we are, it like, if you're looking at trends and like how everyone's doing, I think it would be really hard. It would be possible and even more likely that the McLaren would win the constructors and the driver championship.
I'm with you on that. I fully agree with that, but I'm just saying, I'm not betting against Max. I just feel like that guy is one totally crazy and like so focused that he might be, you know, paying the mechanics themselves to like figure it out. He'll get his own strategist in there. Like the last 3 weeks, like, he will make, he will put his own team together. It'll be like Max Verstappen racing just so that he
cares that much right now. I think he's like, fuck it. You know, like he's done everything in Formula One he wants to do. Like, he's always said everything else. He's like, I don't want to be doing this for 200 more races, but he's like, I don't need all these records. I don't need all this. I've already done what I want to do. His only thing, he just needed to prove to Yas that he is exponentially a better driver than Yas could ever be.
Oh, and yeah.
He signed, still delivered that. And he's like, fuck off. You know, like, I don't think he has anything else to prove to anybody. So we just like, I don't fucking care.
I 100% agree with that. But I think that we're underestimating a little how much he likes to win.
Oh, he definitely loves to win. But I think he's realistic. He's like, in this car, I don't have a chance.
I mean, I think he figures out how to win the driver's championship. But I do think that McLaren wins the constructors. Because I think McLaren won't figure out who's their top dog. And they'll continue to make silly mistakes and not flip orders and like not flip things so that Lando gets the most points and that they end up being like, you know, 8 points short or something silly. Yeah.
If I mean, I think McLaren is going to have like the amount of pressure and the amount of press that has been circulating after this, they're like, okay. I mean, I do think there's going to be some sponsor money being like thumbed down, being like, pick a driver. Like,
yeah.
I do it. So I think that they're going to be coming in with full strategy promoting Lando.
I mean, I hope to see it. Well, there we go. There's our predictions.
Predictions, yeah.
Who do you think comes in third, Charles or Oscar?
Ooh.
You can say Oscar, even though you're wrong.
When I close my eyes, who do I see? I see Oscar. I see two oranges on that podium. But I think, like, Charles is just right there being like, I'm here.
Don't count my guy out. He may have a broke down car and three tires, but don't count my guy out. Don't count him out.
He's got the power of Leo. Like, he's good. Did you see? This is great. It was like, did anybody catch that ice cream making song composer who occasionally drives a car on Sunday and get a good win this weekend? It's like,
a multi-hyphen. He's a talent.
It was so funny.
A man for the ages. Yes. A renaissance man of our time.
Yeah.
We're not worthy of him. We are worthy, though, we feel, like being rated and reviewed. And so if you listen to the podcast, we would be so thrilled if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to them. And if you're not following us on social media, well, why the hell aren't you? Like, why aren't you? We're putting out hot fire content occasionally, but we're keeping you up to date. It's at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok. We may end up having to change that. People, we've heard some rumors.
Gotten the cease and desist yet.
No.
The powers that be at Liberty Media, but it might be coming. We don't know yet. We'll find out.
Who knows if we're big enough yet, but I have seen, you know, some people that.
Yeah.
They're still floating around out there. But if we end up changing to Push Push, just know that.
It's still the same.
Yeah, we're still the same old gals. But yes, make sure you rate and review the podcast. You can also watch all of our podcasts now, thanks to our partnership with the State of Louisville and being on their network. So you can watch us now weekly whenever you can catch up on old ones too, you know, since we've been on the YouTube. So what is this, like 6 weeks now? We're just out here showing you our faces. So you can watch those at YouTube/The State of Louisville. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. You know, we're trying to go up in the algorithm. And if you like what you see, make sure you rate and review. It would make, honestly, it would not make me happier than a win in a Charles win in Monza, but it would make me almost as happy. And until next time, push, push.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.